Good morning, brothers and sisters and friends. It gives my wife and I great pleasure to be here. We are very, very, very thankful. It's been a wonderful worship service. We've been, you know, really impressed with just the singing and the excitement, and we feel very much at home. I want to thank Uncle Richard and Auntie Sarah for inviting us to be here, to be able to speak to you this morning. We thank them. For my wife and I, we feel very honored that we can always, each time we come through, we have so much to learn, so much they give to us. And I know it's been 9 years or thereabout of just struggling to keep our faith, struggling in the midst of all the storms that we've gone through, amen, to stay afloat, to stay faithful, to stay committed, to stay joyful in the Lord. And I'm very grateful that I can find a friend, a big brother, and a father in the Lord to always come through each time we talk. It's been wonderful, just the transformation. I know this morning, my wife and I were just sharing how much we, you know, coming through here, we've seen the great changes in the church here in Gwinnett. And I would just want to thank God for the Spirit. And the way that we have stayed faithful, we've stayed committed, and to see how God has taken us through so many things. I just want to, on behalf of my wife, thank Glenn and Sheila Hayes for having us in their home. It's like a second home to us. We thank you so much. You don't know what it is stepping out of the plane in a country as big as the U.S., and somebody's waiting out there for you. And you are chauffeur driven into a home and you are handed a key of a house that is not your own. And you are told to feel free to eat anything, drink anything. That is the awesomeness of the kingdom of God. And so we feel very privileged and honored to be amongst brothers and sisters. I bring you great news from the churches in West Africa. I want to begin by thanking the elders and the leaders here in the Atlanta Church here in Gwinnett for your incredible support. I know I carry the message of over 24 churches from across, you know, the seas here to say thank you. You don't know how much your sacrifice and your support means to us. You know, it came at a very intense time that we needed to be helped financially. And the church here rose up and gave a gift to about three of our churches. You know, we have about four pillar churches, three of those churches were supported by the church here. And we just want to say a big thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your immense contribution to seeing that the gospel is preached. And we just came up from a conference that we had in Abuja. Abuja is the political capital of Nigeria. And we had our churches gathered there for a time of learning and teaching. And we had the pleasure of having Dr. Douglas Jacoby come and do some classes for us. We had Nichi Oguaya fly from New York to be with us. We look forward to have our big brother Richard to be there, but he couldn't, for obvious reasons, and that we missed them really in that conference. It was a big one for us, and we're very grateful that over 800 people worshiped with us that Sunday morning, last Sunday in Abuja. And it's a church of over 150 disciples. Having to host over 800 of us from across, it was awesome. It was great. We thank God for what he's doing. This year, we've been able to have some great steady growth in the last 3 years. In spite of all the challenges, God has been faithful. Amen. You know, this year, we have grown by 69 disciples in the Lagos church. And across our other churches, we have grown by 92. And our goal this year is to grow by 150 disciples. And we pray, please keep us in your prayers, that God will continue to increase our number. We are also focused this year on family, leadership and the missions. And God has been faithful to us. In the last youth camp we had a few weeks back, we had over 320 of our children come out for the Hope Youth Camp. And we have over 80 volunteers. And the interesting thing is that every year the number of our children turning to the Lord have been increasing. Amen. Last year we had over 20 of them get baptized. And this year, about 160 of them penned down that they want to study the Bible. And we know that God will add our children into the list of those being saved. Please be praying for us, because we are seeing a new generation of disciples coming up. We have seen our children turning to God, and we are grateful. And for those of them, over the years, we have recorded some not so good results in turning up our children each time they get to campus, because we baptize them as teenagers and they go off to college and a whole lot of them fall away. And we've been praying and working hard. And the last 2 years, since we've been focused on just strengthening our homes, our family, creating a strong spiritual home for our children, we have seen a big turnaround. And right now, as I speak, this Sunday, the church is closing out a campus conference, and we have over 300 of our children attending the campus conference. And it's amazing to see the leaders, leaders rising up, a new crop of leadership rising up from our campus ministry. Our children are not only staying faithful, but they are catching on the dream to join in the leadership of our great church. So we see that when we focus on building great families and strengthening our campus ministry, our youth ministry, we will reap a great reward if we do not give up. And because these are the people that will strengthen our leadership and will help us to take the mission for God. You know, today, I've been given the privilege to speak, but I also want you to know that God has been refining and sifting us. This year has been an intense year for me and for my wife and for the church, because God brings many challenges our way, ultimately to refine us, to strengthen us, and to prepare us for the battles that lie ahead. Sometimes we don't know what He is working at, but our belief is that God is faithful. He knows what is good for us. And today, I'll be talking about a living hope. And I'll be drawing my text from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You, God, for Your humility. And for the way You reach out to us and the way You pull us close to Yourself. And sometimes we don't understand, but God, we pray today that You give us a fresh understanding. Give us a heart that truly, truly loves You. Father, You've done so much for us. You have not abandoned us to our devices. Even though, God, we sin, when we come to You, You are able to forgive us. Today, I pray that You open our eyes to understand that living hope that we all have in Christ Jesus. That as a people, we are not just here, we're here for a reason. Thank You, God, that You've called us into this wonderful family. For our friends who are visiting, I pray, God, that You touch their hearts as well. That we all will come to repentance. And that we will have a fresh understanding of Your love for us. Thank You for Your word of encouragement to us today. Speak powerfully, and I pray that Your word will touch us. For we ask You all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. A living hope. And I have 2 points quickly that I want to make. We have a living hope that refines our faith for salvation. And then we have a living hope that is eternal and glorious. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read from verses 1 to 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief or, you know, in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels longed to look into these things. And I'll stop there for a while. A living hope that refines our faith for salvation. When Peter penned down this letter, the church was going through some intense persecution. And it was so intense that a good number of them started weakening in their faith. You know, being a Christian, from where I come from, people believe that when you become a Christian, all things will go well for you. You know, when you are born again, then the gates of prosperity are opened unto you. That everything you pray for, everything you ask for, will be given to you. You know, we like that passage. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. And sometimes in our mind, we think it will be given to us at our own time and exactly how we want it. And it's a very religious world that we live in because people take these scriptures out of context. And the issues of suffering and trials, we do not know how to handle them because when they come, it kind of floors us. And it throws us, and it throws that curveball. And we keep wondering, why is this happening to me? You know, last Sunday we had a great message by our brother, and the title was, Why Not Me? You know, at good times we kind of feel bad things can happen to other people, but not to us. You know, the religious people there, they say, oh, we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And so everything must work out the way we want it. But that is not what we've come to learn, because our faith will be tested. And it will go through the fires of to refine us. The fires of trials, of sufferings, of persecution. We live in a world today where we can stand up and preach Christ and nobody hinders us. Today, driving down here, it was smooth. You know, we all came to church. In my country, every other building is almost a church. Everybody talks about being a Christian and being born again. So sometimes when we read these scriptures, we kind of think, where would the suffering come from? Where would the persecution come from of our faith? And so sometimes we don't understand what Peter and the Christians, the early Christians, what they faced. How it was so tough for them to confess Jesus as Lord. But we see that today our biggest challenge is in our character. Biggest challenges is in our character. In our marriages, in our parenting, in our jobs, in our everyday life, how to live, how to be true Christians, how to fight corruption, and how to live above board. That is our real battle. The battle to stay holy. The battle to stay righteous. Nobody stops us from going to church. Nobody stops you from sharing your faith. When you invite somebody, they can either say yes or no. Nobody stones you, nobody kills you for being a Christian. But yet, your faith needs to be refined. Because if your faith is not tested, it cannot be trusted. And so, our real frontier, brothers and sisters and friends, is our character. The persons that we are. Who are you? Who are you at home? Who are you where you live? In your neighborhood? Who are you in your marriage situation? You know, I've been married for, I think, 22 years? 23 years? I keep forgetting. For 23 years. And God has blessed my wife and I with two children. Our daughter is 18. She's about to go to college. She's been a disciple now for 2 years, almost. And then we have a son who is 14 years old. And each time I think about being refined, I know the one frontier for me is in my marriage and being a parent, being patient, being the ability to listen, to courageously take correction, to understand those five magic words, to say sorry, to say please forgive me, to be courteous, to be kind, to be compassionate. And I know as a busy minister, the city that I live in, Lagos, it's a tough city. You know, sometimes you pray, you wake up in the morning, you pray, God, today I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be so fired up today. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And immediately you step out, the temptation begins. The testing of your faith. You know, driving in the streets of Lagos is another frontier for me. You know, the impatient comes, people cut across, people yell at you, people drive, there is no rules. You know, you drive here, you see all the signs, we don't have signs. And everybody drives, and it is a big test to stay focused, to stay prayerful, to keep your mind sane. And yet that is the world. That is my world. And that is what God wants me to be, a man at peace all the time. You know, things don't work the way I want it to work all the time. And sometimes I get very angry, and I'm coming home, and I have expectations. You know, I want everything to be good. I want to be welcomed. And then you pull over, and then you find that things are not the same. Nobody comes to welcome you. Or nobody says some nice things to you. And then I am tempted at that time to lose my cool. That is the time my fate as a Christian man and as a Christian father is being tested. Where I need to be patient. Where I need to realize that God wants me to always be at peace, no matter what happens. God through Christ has given us a new birth. We are not like everybody else. Our faith will be refined for salvation. He has promised us an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And there are many promises that the world holds out to us. We are promised a better life, improved facilities and infrastructures. And sometimes we hope and pray that things will get better, but they don't. So we're tempted to get angry and to get disillusioned. No matter the trials and troubles that we face, our faith in God must prove to be genuine. It is not enough, I've learned, to just come to church and pray and sing and be fired up. My faith will be tested to prove whether I am a genuine lover of God. It is a tested faith that will bring a joyful end. If our faith is not tested, then we will just be going through the motions. Our salvation is worth all the suffering. Amen. God is faithful. He has taught me to be patient, to always be prayerful. You know, being a Christian, being a disciple, lost my dad at 14. Got converted when I was about 24. And becoming a Christian, I grew up fighting everything, fighting to survive, fighting to eat, fighting to basically stay alive. And so life for me is more like a survival of the fittest. And for me it was like, I am going to make something out of my life. And so it doesn't matter who you trample. It doesn't matter who is in front of you. You got to knock some people down to get what you want. And I grew up very mean and very sad, very introverted. And I remember being reached out to about 24 years ago and invited to study the Bible. For me, there was no hope, there was no future. What I live for is for now. Today. There was no talk about what tomorrow will bring, because you never know. That is how I was when I studied the Bible. And somebody reached out to me. I know how many times the friend had to come over and over again. I stopped going to church. I wasn't interested. I felt like church was a game. You know, the pastors, they just want your money. You know, they entertain you and they leave you worse than when you came. And so I didn't want to go to church. But I thank God, because 24 years ago, God showed me what true love is and gave me a living hope. When people studied the Bible with me, At first, walking into the fellowship was a Bible discussion. It was like, man, who are these happy people? They were also excited. And for the first time, I attended a Christian meeting where I was asked a question of what do I think the Bible is saying. You know, I've always attended meetings where I am told what the Bible is saying. And so I attended a little Bible talk, an informal Bible talk, and they will open the Bible and say, what does this passage say? And of course, for the first time, I said, that's true. What does the passage really say? And then, I started responding to the Word of God. Amen. For the first time in my life, I started making sense and meaning to the Word of God. How do you read it? What does it say? How does it impact your life? What are you going to change as a result of these words? For the first time in my life, the word started to make sense. And that is where my faith started taking the refining. And I know that I had to forgive. I know today we talked about reconciliation. You know, I had to reconcile. And the biggest part of the reconciliation was forgiving my dad. It was hard for me. Because I was fighting to be somebody because I thought my father did not provide for me the platform to be a man. And he was very quiet. He didn't talk to me much. He didn't tell me anything about life. And he passed away, and I was bitter. And I was bitter, and I felt like it was unfair for my father to be taken away at a time when I needed him the most. So I got angry with him, got angry with God, got angry with everybody. Had no relative. I kind of felt people are out to get me. And I was in a world of my own. And I know that God met me at the right time. Because it was a very bad state I was in. And at the right time for all of us seated here, you will testify. You have your own story to tell about how God met you. This God we have, just like Peter said, I predestined our salvation. He knows at the point to reach out to us. You are not here by chance. You are here by God's design. You are here by God's planning. He has made it possible for you to be here. And that day, it became clearer to me that God has a bigger plan for my life. And studying the Bible and coming across the cross of Jesus, for once, I had to first get reconciled with God and I had to reconcile with my family. And 24 years ago, God changed my world. I thought I was a Christian because I knew some passages in the Bible. But the real fact was that the real Christianity is about how we live on a daily basis. The Bible says that God will judge the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. You know, I come from a place, like I said, where there is a form of godly devotion. But we deny its power by the way we live on a daily basis. So we can be caught in this too. Where it is a routine for us to come to church. But we're not asking ourselves the deep question, are we Christians? Are we changed people? And I had to come to that point where I had to face the cross. And I remember crying and crying because I came to see how much I've hurt God by the very thoughts of my heart. You know, how the hatred, the bitterness, the lack of forgiveness. And so you're seated here this morning. What is going on in your heart? And I have got to learn this lesson over and over again to keep a watch and to guard my heart because it is a wellspring of life. And so today, Christians, disciples, yes, we learn that at a baptism, our sins are forgiven. But we got to be careful to not believe that once saved is always saved. Because immediately we get baptized, we are fired up to be in the kingdom. But not too long, the devil comes back again and starts to sow seeds. And the longer we become as Christians, the more we got to guard our hearts. Because the more we become very, you know, we begin to justify why we are the way we are. And I've had to learn that even in the 24 years of being a disciple. How to remain humble consistently. How to continue to seek for input in my life. I know many times when I thought I knew it. Many times I felt discouraged. And I want to go it my own way. And I see myself slipping back. But you see, brothers and sisters, the inheritance that we have. The inheritance we have in Christ Jesus is that which will not perish, spoil, or fade. It has been kept there for us. And for us to get there, our faith must prove to be genuine. It will be tested. And at the end, we will have a joy. It will be a joyful end if we do not give up. And that is my encouragement. Each time, it becomes very hard for me to keep focusing on my salvation. To know that it was given to me at a cost. The price that I could not pay. And as an older Christian, sometimes I lose track of these facts. Because I think, well, I've done this for God. I'm a Bible talk leader. I lead people. I've sacrificed. I've done this. I've done that. And what that does, it clogs your heart. And you begin to forget where you are coming from. And so as Peter wrote this passage to the Christians, I could see myself in that place where becoming a Christian, sometimes sufferings and trials, I do not receive them well. I do not take them, I do not process them well because of my mind clogged with a lot of religious notions. And I want to encourage us and plead with you. It's a hard place to be. No matter how old we are as Christians, our faith will continuously be refined. It is not once done. It will continue to be done over and over again. In Luke 22, this is what Jesus had to say to Peter. Because he was a man who understood. And in Luke 22, verse 24, this is what Jesus had to say to Peter. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, The king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest. And the one who rules like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is awesome. But he ends up turning to Peter. Says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. In one breath, Jesus talks about how we got to serve and how he came to serve. And one would have thought, oh yes, what a great message. But Jesus knew the hearts of the people around him. And he addressed Simon. And he says, guard your heart, Simon. The devil has asked to sift you. And each time I read this passage, I feel like Jesus looking down at me and saying, you know, I know your thoughts. I know your attitudes. I know how you put out an outward display of humility. But deep down in your heart, you are struggling to stay connected with God. And he prayed for Peter. And no wonder Peter penned down these same scriptures to the Christians. Because it's so easy for us to to be carried away by the facades. The devil has asked to sift us every day, but the Lord is praying for us. Please pray for us as well, that as we go through the sufferings and trials, that we do not give up. My final admonition to us is that a living faith that we have is that which that is eternal and glorious. And in the same First Peter, he continues in chapter 1 from verse 13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your life as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed over to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He has chosen before the creation of the world, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in this last time for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You know, yesterday was awesome. I want to thank Uncle Richard and Sarah for taking us out to go to the Martin Luther King Historic Center. And it was moving, being able to go to that place and see and hear and listen to the story of a man who made a difference. And I know for every American, Martin Luther King Jr. has a place in your heart as far as the history of this country is concerned. And just going there and seeing people listening and having tears in their eyes, and to see what this man did over 50 years ago to bring about equality, unity, and peace in this country. Sometimes for the generation, the new generation, is something that, you know, we take for granted. People today can just go about, rejoice, and hung out, and not even listening, it began to make sense, you know, about the black and the white. You walk into this country today, and you don't feel that. But people died for that. People suffered for that. One man had a dream, and he stood the dream. Today, we can live in a free, seemingly American country where everybody can come in and catch the American dream. I know how many Nigerians every day queue up in the embassy, the United States embassy, to get the visas to come visit this country. When people get a visa, they jump up, fired up to be here. Now the question I ask you, Americans, are you happy to be here? Even though you are happy, for us, coming to the U.S. is like, whoa, awesome. Sometimes even people send you off from your village. They gather around, they make a party. Oh, my son is going to America. It's a big thing coming here. But no matter how big it is, Peter is saying it is nothing compared to heaven. Our living hope is not just to inherit a free nation. It is to have an inheritance that is eternal and glorious. And I know too often we complain over here about what we don't have. Now I have, you know, every day from where I come from, if you have 6 hours of light, power. If you have 6 hours of power, every day, you are in heaven. You know, when we, like, you know, like we say, like Uncle Richard, you know, spoke to us, you know, when we put food on the table, we pray. And sometimes we pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, thanking God for food. Maybe you're sitting here, sometimes you don't even think about it. So have food on your table. Heaven will be a wonderful place. Heaven will be glorious. But on this side, we are going to have many troubles. And it is a living hope that we have that far outweighs every other thing we can ever think or imagine. That no matter what it is that we are facing right now, even as we grow old, we are facing health challenges. We are facing the challenges of being in the sandwich age, where we taking care of ourselves, taking care of our aged ones, and taking care of our children. And sometimes we take care of everyone, and we're asking, who is going to take care of me? And we are caught in that crossfire. But you got to know that Peter said this, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Don't give in to distractions and temptations. The grace to be given you is eternal. And so how do we respond? Be holy. Think about Jesus and what he stands for. And I know in the midst of all the pressures, thinking about Jesus is hard. Wanting to be like Jesus is hard. Because sometimes life deals you some serious blows. But you got to be holy. You got to strive for holiness. Because it is not, our grace in God has not been fully revealed. And some people have found that shocking. Because I know friends who have crossed over, come to the U.S., and then you call them up the next day, they say, it is hard. Because our thinking over there is that the grounds here are paved with gold. If you come into the U.S., you find jobs, you will live well. But that's, you know that that's not true. Well, we don't know over there. And we can do anything to get over here. Literally anything. But I pray that we will do more to get to heaven. Amen. That we'll continue to fight for holiness. That we'll continue to fight for that brotherly love. That we'll look at each other and bear with one another. This battle is going to be rough. It's going to be tough. For my wife and I, we feel we are among family. People who love us. I know we came in here with a lot in our hearts, with a lot of burden. But it's been 2 glorious days with our brothers, our parents here, the Alawayes. They've been very encouraging. And we know we're going to get a lot of encouragement, lots of encouragement going back home. Please encourage one another. Bear with one another. Let the love of Christ, well up in you in great riches so that you can walk with one another and bear with one another. The battle that we have is tough. But where we are going is eternal and glorious. We have a living hope that refines our faith for salvation. We have a living hope that is eternal and glorious. Let us encourage each other with these words. Let's have sincere love. Let's obey the truth. Let's keep up the faith. Pray for us in Africa. Our challenges, our work is cut out for us. But so is your own challenge. It is not easy anywhere. Let us keep fighting, and one day we are going to spend eternity with each other in heaven. God bless you as you pray for us.
Thank you. It's great to see you, brother. Thank you. I want to give you this. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know how you're feeling after hearing Chris, but I am both challenged and encouraged. And that's a good place to be every Sunday, isn't it? Thank you very much, brother, for coming and sharing the Word of God with us. It is a great partnership that we have in the gospel, and we hope that we can encourage you while you're here, and that we can grow even closer in our relationship. Thank you. What we're going to do is close with a prayer, and then after the prayer, we'll have a closing song. So if you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you take care of us in every way. There are times when we feel so overwhelmed, and we feel truly sifted and tried. And Father, you provided a way through Jesus, Father, that we can be refined and that we can hold close to you through our faith. We're so grateful that you have given us the Holy Spirit, Father, that assures us that we are close to you. Father, thank you that we have your word that we can go to and renew our spirit. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and West Africa. We pray that you would bless them in growth. Father, that you would help them with the money situations that arise from time to time. Father, with the hardships that they go through. Father, that we would be true partners with them. Thank you for blessing us that we can help them. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy in Christ. And now as we are about to depart, Father, we pray that you will be with us, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us, that we will have an incredible week. Father, that we will meet someone that we can share your word with.
Yes.
Father, that we can study with someone, that we can encourage someone else. To stay close to you. Father, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.